Yes, well, hello and welcome to the 10th episode of the Simpleton Podcast. This is a podcast that many people said would never be able to be made. What I would like to say to all the doomsayers, critics, hypocrites, small-minded fools and underachievers that said we would never make it to episode 10, well, this one is for you, motherfuckers. Over the past 10 weeks, we have presented some of the most invigorating and innovating podcasting program ever to grace the interwebs. Who could forget Scott's inane sports reports, some of the ridiculous letters we've received, and the whole Jesper Hansen debacle, and of course, who could forget Scott's bullshit spiritual journey? These were all classic moments in the history of podcasting, and to think that people believe we couldn't make the Simpleton out there as the caliber of entertainment that it is, week in, week out, I say, fuck you all. Fuck you all. Scott, so joining me as always from Berlin, Germany is Scott Gall. How are you, Scott?
Very well, thank you, Daniel. Daniel,
yeah.
When we started off on this adventure, they were laughing. Mm. They're not laughing now, Daniel. Mm-mm-mm. They are not laughing now.
No one laughs at all now.
No, that's my whole point. And listen, you know, I reckon we've made a difference, a big difference, and I'll now explain why. Now, Daniel, you've sort of made a big deal of your position as leaning light of the anti-censorship movement, and I'll be honest, myself, as well as no doubt most of the simpletons, pretty much took that as the ravings of a madman. But listen, with recent news out of Burma that the governments, the junta, are going to enact some reforms with the ultimate aim of banning censorship. I mean, you do the maths. How long has the junta been in power? How long have we been doing podcasting?
Good point. I think the junta
coincidence?
The junta has been in power for over 20 years now. And I think, you know, and as we know, Aung San Suu Kyi was released from house arrest probably about 12 months ago, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 months ago. But you know what? I think you're right, Scott. I think it's the last 10 weeks that it has been the straw that has broken the camel's back. So
absolutely.
Look, I'll ignore your comment about my opening gamut about being the rantings of a madman. I'll back you on this, Scott. I think you're spot on. I think you're absolutely right. And I think the people of Burma are rejoicing because of the Simpleton Podcast. There's no two ways about it.
Don't even quantify it with I think.
Yeah, good.
It was us.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else have we got here?
You wanted to do your little blurb, didn't you? You were talking about doing a little blurb. Go on, launch into it. I'll just have a sip of coffee.
Oh, coffee. Yeah. Yeah, don't do that while... Look, fuck it. Scott, the growing housing crisis in Australia's largest cities has seen the lockout of potential first-home buyers out of the real estate market altogether. With the Australian cities growing at an exponential rate and the urban sprawl gobbling up more and more of the nation's precious farming lands, I call on both sides of the political divide to stop their partisan nonsense and come together to formulate a proper population and land use policy before it's too late. Australia is too proud a nation not to give its battlers a helping hand, and things can't continue the way they are. This land is surely big enough and its people clever enough to overcome these 21st century challenges. So let's all get together and make sure that Australia continues to be the most livable country on earth. I'm Daniel James, and that's my view.
Listen, I knew you had something planned, but I had no idea that was it. What the hell was that?
That was my attempt to ensure that this podcast remains at the cutting edge of social and political commentary week in, week out, Scott. And if I'm going to be truly frank, it's, I see myself perhaps as a potential, you know, professional radio personality down the track. And little tidbits like that on the issues that matter, I'm sure will hold me in pretty good stead if 2GB ever needs a replacement for Alan Jones, or 3AW ever needs a replacement for Neil Mitchell. So you've got to do things yourself, Scott. You've got to create your own possibilities. That's all I'm saying.
I dig. That's fine with me. I didn't know about I didn't know about your career ambition, which you've just let out of the bag. But good luck with that. Yeah, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
But I see. Sorry.
No, go on.
Sorry.
No, go on.
No. I say, Daniel, why don't we move on to the next segment?
Why not, indeed? And of course, the next segment is the World Roundup.
Yes. The World Report this week takes us to the South Georgia and South Sandwich Islands, down there in the South Atlantic Ocean, not so far away from the Falkland Islands off the coast of Argentina. Now, like the Falkland Islands, the South Georgia and South Sandwich Islands are administered by England but claimed by Argentina. But now, with the 30th anniversary of the Falklands War upon us, and with lingering tensions between Argentina and the fading Great Britain threatening to flare up again in the South Atlantic Ocean, the government of the South Georgia and South Sandwich Islands has embarked on an intensive rat culling operation along Thatcher Peninsula on the northern half of South Georgia Island. Now, the
Scott, I'm just going to ask you straight out. Are you insinuating that there's a connection between the geopolitical tensions between Argentina and Britain and the rat cull? And by the way, I like how you put great in inverted commas when you were referring to Great Britain. This is the nation that I think won 28 gold medals. I think on a per capita basis was by far the most successful team during the 30th Olympiad. And, you know, you're saying they used to be great. I think they've proved themselves to be pretty bloody handy. And quite frankly, they shit all over Australia, didn't they, Scott? And Germany, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It was important you got that... That last one, Daniel.
Well, we know that you've turned your back on Australia, Scott, and you've decided to call Deutschland home. So yeah, we're both in the same pram, Scott.
The local authorities, having concluded phase one of the operation, are busying themselves with post-baiting monitoring before the start of the second phase at the beginning of 2013. Now,
how's it going to be monitored?
Well, you're really doing your job, aren't you, as an investigative journalist today, aren't you, Daniel?
One of us has got it, Scott.
Yeah, right. All right. I'll just say this: peanut flavored wax tags are the staple. Are the number one staple in any post-beating monitoring kit, Daniel. Good enough for you?
Could you just go into a little bit more detail about what peanut flavored wax tags are, just for the listener, Scott? I know, of course.
No. I'll move along. They're red, I can tell you that much. The early signs are good. Over 100 of the aforementioned wax tags were strategically placed across the phase one baiting zone, but so far virtually none of them have been found to have been gnawed at, a positive sign as the local government prepares to embark on phase two.
What's with the dramatics? None of them been found out to be gnawed at. Can you believe it? But seriously though. My sources on the South Sandwich Islands actually are confirming what Scott is sprouting at the moment. And something else is going to have to be done to curb this tirade of rats that are infesting the South Sandwich Islands. Just amazing. And you know, I think it's central for the survival of the Georgian pipit. And my sources are that it has begun to flourish once again in some of the baiting zones. And given that the bird has suffered at the hands of its natural predator, the rat, in the past, this would indicate that the phase one baiting process succeeded in reducing rat numbers. What do you think, Scott?
Brilliant. to be able to rattle that off about such a topic, you must literally know everything, Daniel.
I have my sources. They kept me informed. You know, it's called journalism, Scott.
I take that. I take that on board. Could you tell us a bit more though about the South Georgian? Is it Pipit or Pipit?
It's Pipit, Scott. If you're an English speaking nation in the Southern Hemisphere, it's Pipit. Well, you want to know about the Pipit? Well, it's a bird with a wingspan of roughly 3 meters. It has quite amazing plumage. It's actually renowned as one of the best-looking birds of the Falklands and South Sandwich Islands, which it inhabits both. But as we know, that the outbreak of the rat population in the South Sandwich Islands has resulted in numbers plummeting. It has a beak of about 35 centimeters in length. Has blue eyes, which is quite interesting, given that the sunlight levels there would usually result in the pigmentation of eyes having to deal with the bright glare off the seas and the sandy white beaches of the Sandwich Islands. Is there anything else you wanted to know, Scott?
No, you've done it. That was brilliant. I think that was all off the top of your head too. I can detect when someone is mechanically reading. I reckon you weren't doing that on that occasion. I'm impressed.
I like to read, Scott, but not during the podcast. I like to be well read, but I don't like to read well during the podcast. Yes, very good. Anything else you wanted to say about this? Is there anything else you wanted to say about this important world story, Scott?
No, I reckon we're done. But I just say, if people are concerned about, say, Falkland Islands war, take two, don't disregard what's happening down there in the South Georgia, South Sandwich Islands right now with this rat cull. I'm not saying it'll be the spark to flare it all up, but just don't disregard it. That aside, I reckon we move on. What do you say?
That's plainly ridiculous.
Hi, this is GMV6's Chris Eddy, and you're listening to The Simpleton.
Okay, listeners, as some of you may be aware, last week Scott cancelled his long-running sports report, thankfully. Scott, tell us what you've got for us this week.
Well, what do you say? You know, we're short of funds. Will we get into that one now, our latest push?
Better just touch on it, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I need to put this into context. So listen, hear me out. Now, I'm sure we've all heard interviews with actors and actresses over the years, and there's pretty much two threads that go through all of those interviews. One, the actors, actresses tend to come across as deranged, egotistical vermin, but let's put that aside right now. The second one is that they always say, oh yes, I make the motion pictures to pay the bills, but my heart is with theatre. I crave theatre. So let's just now put this into context, simpletons. When it comes to Daniel, no, I'm not saying he's deranged, egotistical vermin at all. In fact, he's not. I can say that. But if he were an actor, no problem. To compare Daniel to an actor, the podcast are the motion pictures for Daniel, but his heart craves stand-up comedy. His heart craves to stand up in front of a bunch of people. Cabaret, if you want to call it that, stand-up comedy, and just to give people joy. And
more joy, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, Daniel, do you want to talk a little bit about what I'm getting at here?
Well, long before I was a professional podcaster, Scott, I was a stand-up comedian. I started the comedy circuit during my formative years at RMIT and cut my teeth with the likes of Rove McManus and Dara Richardson. And and you know, it's something that I earned a living at for quite a few years before turning my mind to matters more important. But now, given that the podcast is struggling financially and that, well, stand-up is my main money cow, I might as well go back to it in order to keep this fledgling little podcast afloat. So, Scott, I believe you've got a hold of some sort of promo.
I have. I've cut this one together. I guess without further ado, Daniel, we'll let it roll, will we?
Yeah, roll it.
He is back, and he's coming to a town near you. That's right. The Simpleton Podcast's funny man is at it again as he puts his critically acclaimed one-man comedy tour on the road again.
Yo, filthy whores, yo, pimp daddies. You know, I'd like to say it'd be nice to be here tonight, but I was taught by my parents never to lie. No, seriously, this place is a fucking toilet.
You'll laugh out loud as Dad recreates some of his most infamous routines.
And I'm walking down the street, and this homeless dude comes up to me and he asks, "Hey, have you got any money?" I go, "Yeah, I've got plenty." And I kept on walking. Stupid bastard didn't know what to do.
Bring your family and enjoy an entertaining night out.
Yeah, well, it's clear that I've got a pretty lame audience here tonight. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get a bag of crack cocaine and throw it in the middle of you all and watch you junk sick bozos tear yourselves apart trying to get to your medicine. Oh. You sick junkie fucks.
Daniel's riotous antics will have you and your loved ones rolling in the aisles.
So I sit to the guy, "No, man, no." And he was like, "Yeah, man, yeah."
Daniel will be performing at Greensboro RSL, the Palms Maidstone, the Yarraville Club, Shopping Town Doncaster, Spotswood Hotel, the Brighton Yacht Club, Diggers Rest Workers League, Vermont Ladies Union, Ringwood Sailors Collective, and the Shepperton Club.
So come along and have a gander. You won't be disappointed.
Thanks very much for putting that together for us, Scott.
It makes
promotion a whole lot easier if we have something like that out. And if we're going to do any sort of promotion on this show, I suppose we better do self-promotion. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I know Daniel, so it would come across as fairly hollow saying, "Go there, he's great." But what you just heard there were snippets of a man pouring out his heart and soul, doing what he was... Doing what he was put on the earth to do. He loves it, and you get that, and you'll crack up. You'll have a great time. That's all I can say. I've never been, but I do have one of his DVDs from his previous tour. I know the man personally. He's very funny, and I've heard also very positive critiques from non-partial visitors. So get along. You can't lose.
Thanks, Scott. I know that there's a degree of self-interest in making sure that the stand-up tour is a success.
Yes.
But thank you very much. So, look, that aside, we don't have the sports report this week. So what have you got in its place, given that this is your segment?
Yeah, that's a good question. This week, to be honest, I've got very little. I racked my brain for a lot of time, a long time, with regards this void created by the demise of the sports report, and I came up with nothing. Let me continue. Mm-hmm. So I've scraped behind the back of the couch, gathered barely enough loose change to buy an old stock radio tape, and without further ado, let me introduce it. Hector and Milton. Let it roll, Daniel.
Well, can I suggest a little bit further ado, Scott, in that I have no idea what Hector and Milton is. And if I have no idea, then the simpletons out there have no fucking clue. Could you give us a little bit more information, please?
Yeah, excuse me. Yes, Hector and Milton was a very popular nationwide radio serial from the 1930s. Of course, it hasn't had any airtime for a very long time now, and given the circumstances, I thought that now would be an opportune time to bring it out. Let our listeners go for a little stroll down memory lane. Let it roll, Daniel.
What a simply marvellous day for spotter fishing.
Can't disagree with you there, old boy. Say, fancy another G&T?
Why not, old chap? But no eggs, please.
Say, what's Mildred up today, old boy?
She's taking the kids hiking along the path. And Mavis?
Mavis is a slut, old boy. I caught her having a roly-poly in the bushes with Davidson from number 9.
Oh, that's got to sting, old boy. Say, old chap, do you mind if I turn the wireless on? I promise I won't drop it out of your boat. The rest, however, were exterminated by local authorities. Enough sport. Our national cricket team on its way to England for the Ashes series has stopped off at Rostock in Germany, there on the Baltic Sea, before taking a bus to the nation's capital in preparation for its 3-day tour match against the Berlin Cricket Club, better known as the BCC. Upon arrival in the nation's centre of power, the lads were treated to a tour of the Reichstag, which culminated in a pre-planned meeting with some of the nation's top brass. At the end of the brouhaha, the lads presented Chancellor Hitler with a cricket bat before heading back to the team's hotel. And now, a message from our sponsors.
The 6-in-1 Rutans 5000 is ideal for kicking, throwing, bouncing, catching.
I say, old boy, not much action today. Not even a bite.
Well, old chap. No one wants to be a fish out of water, do they?
Well, as long as days long, I will stay here until I get one. Stone the crows, old boy. I'm not going anywhere.
That's the way. Stiff upper lip. If anyone was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, it was you, old chap. Hey, be a gentleman. Turn that wallet off, won't you? It's rather distracting.
Boys can't promise the world.
Too many crickets. I think I've got one.
Oh, go on. Why don't you? Reel him in. Here, let me take that G&T off your hands.
Thanks, old cock. Much obliged. Oh, dear. I think he got away.
Don't blow your stack, old boy. You were close.
Don't give me that. As they say, close only counts in horseshoes, doesn't it?
Maybe it's just one of those days, old chap. Here, your G&T. Cheers.
Oh, very well. Cheers. And here's the better luck next time.
Hi, this is Angry Anderson, and you're listening to the Simpleton Podcast. They can't be beaten.
Well, Scott, thanks for putting that cereal together. You've really gone out of your way to help with the production this week, and I appreciate that because it's left up to me. But can we just touch on that cereal for a second?
Yes.
With the wireless playing in the boat, which I find, I don't know what the logistics of that are, because wirelesses in those days were, you know, behemoths. They were really fucking big things. But
okay.
I think I overheard on the radio that the Australian cricket team was visiting the Chancellor of Germany. That's somewhat controversial, is it not?
I believe that episode that played was from 1935. Back then, he wasn't quite the controversial figure that he would later go on to become. So, point taken. But at the time, it wasn't all that controversial. No.
Okay. Well, that's okay then. Let's just move on to the shout out, shall we?
Let's move on to the shout out. Daniel, and you are doing the shout-out again. So, what have you got for us?
Scott, the Braybrook Intelligentsia, failing to make the finals for the 42nd year in a row, are heading off this week to spend a week in the sunshine.
Sorry, I was taken a bit aback there. Just let me get my thoughts here. Sunshine, I'm thinking of a pretty bland, unpleasant urban wasteland there in the west of Melbourne, but you couldn't be talking about that one. You must be talking about another sunshine. What is it?
Interesting, Scott. Yeah, I was talking about that sunshine, actually. While you explained it as, or described it as a soulless, desolate, bloody shithouse fucking suburb.
Yeah.
I think that's the way you said it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Some others, Scott, myself included, would describe it as a suburban oasis in Melbourne's west and actually one of Melbourne's hidden treasures. But let me stop you before you really interrupt again. Some might say, why would the Intelligentsia travel to Sunshine when it's only the next suburb away? Well, let me go on the bat for the boys here and ask, why the fuck wouldn't they? I mean, far too often you see sporting clubs blowing their social budgets by travelling to exotic locations such as Darfur, Gaza, Sierra Leone, Balmain, etc. But it's right one with spending some time in foreign lands a little bit closer to home, helping your neighbour out, and especially helping the people of Sunshine out rebuild their decimated economy. I say it's a neighbourly thing to do, Scott, and I think full steam ahead for the Braybrook Intelligentsia. Any comments?
Yeah. No, just, I agree. I mean, it's wise to save their budget and go out there. Not much you can do because it's pretty unpleasant, bland, soulless, all that we've mentioned. But you listed a number of places there about a minute ago. All of them seem to be places with shattered economies, barely functioning governments, war zones. And at the end, what was the last one you mentioned?
I think this is how you pronounce it, Balmain.
Balmain.
Are you familiar with it, Scott?
I am familiar with it, Daniel, but I don't think it fits in that list, and I don't think we'll bore the listeners with getting too much into Balmain. That's all. I just wanted to clear that up. You want to say something, or you want to move on?
Listeners' letters. I've said it before. I'll say it again. We can't do it without you, dear listener. We really can't. The fact that we've made it to 10 episodes is, a testament to your loyalty, our audience. Wouldn't you say, Scott?
Daniel, we couldn't do it without them, could we?
That's what I said, yeah. You're just saying what I said. Well, look, doesn't matter. Look, if you have correspondence for us, please, by all means, drop us a line. Yeah, I think that's more homely.
Yeah.
Drop us a line. Yeah. At contact@thesimpleton.com.au. Additionally, we now have a voicemail function on the simpleton.com.au website. So if you want to leave a voice message and tell us what's on your mind about any subject at all, it might be Balmain's struggling economy. It could be the free speech movement in Burma. It could be the US presidential elections, or it could be speculation about when Liz Hurley and Shane Warne are going to get married. Any of the above. If you've got anything to say, leave us a voice message. It's easy enough. You just click on the bloody button and it says something or other, and you just hit the red button and you say something and you just stop it, and we end up getting it, and we'll look, more than likely play it on the podcast itself. But enough about that. Scott, I believe you've got the first of two letters.
You believe correctly. I've just thought differently. I appreciate their listenership, but we could do it without them, you know? Even if not a single person was listening, we'd probably still be doing this for our own amusement. So we could do it without them, couldn't we?
So you think that we would just hook up with each other via Skype every week and just talk like we do to each other, without the possibility of having an audience? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's technically possible, isn't it? Scott, no disrespect. Yeah, sorry?
Look, if we continue on like this, we won't have a fucking audience. They can just get on and read the first fucking letter. Thank you.
I will do. I will do. Letter one. I had some reservations about reading this one out. I think it's a response to a letter we got a couple of weeks ago. And again, the letter writer has not provided a proper name for themselves, rather referring to themselves with an alias or a nickname. And in this case, it is The Violator. And The Violator is, again, from Maipol, Northeast Victoria. I had real reservations about reading it out, but I think
I've got some pretty serious reservations about you reading it out. In fact, I would have reservations about reading any letter out from someone who describes themselves as the Violator.
I would too, but Daniel, Burma.
Burma. No, you're right.
What did we do in Burma?
We freed Aung San Suu Kyi, and we've put the junta government back in their place. But just all from this little podcast. So, Scott, free speech. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. This is what the Violator writes. Excuse me. I will not tell you my name, as few people who have heard it have lived to tell the tale. This is a direct message to that masked, roaming vigilante who calls himself the Interrogator. This is not his city. It is mine. I am at the head of every syndicate worth calling itself such, both within the metropolis and out in the suburbs. He will never loosen my grip on the streets. Granted, since the Interrogator has started to do his thing, my homies have had to watch their backs much more closely. The Interrogator has managed to shut down my water misappropriation ring, and my boys who run the livestock theft operation have also had a tough time. But I have always run this city with an iron fist. If a cop sneezed, he couldn't blow his nose without my permission. The Interrogator will be taken down just like all others who have stood in my way before him. That was from the Violator, Maipol, Northeast Victoria. I'm sure you've got something to say about this, Daniel.
Well, we may have brought free speech to Burma, Scott, but I'm having some pretty serious thoughts about, second thoughts about ensuring that we read out any more correspondence on this particular topic. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Violator and the Interrogator were one and the same. But let me just pick up on a couple of points within the letter itself. He says that the Interrogator has managed to shut down his water misappropriation ring.
Yeah.
If I stand correct, I think Castle Creek runs through my pole. And Castle Creek is just an absolutely fucking dribble of a creek. It's like standing downhill from a horse that's just taking a piss. So I reckon knocking down the water misappropriation ring would have been knocking over someone's sandcastle on the banks of the Castle Creek. And again, all this talk about Maipol being a city, there being corrupt cops. There are no cops based in Maipol. The closest police station is Euroa, and I don't want to say anything about the nature of whether they're corrupt or not. Just wish these people would stop fucking writing into us and wasting our time. And more importantly, wasting the listeners' time. And I wouldn't think that someone in the last 20 years would have ever been referred to as a homie within my poll, either by a passing tourist or by a local. So,
wow.
Let's just, can I move on to the second letter? Or
pretty emphatic. You've got the second one. That was very emphatic. Nothing more to say. Letter two, Daniel.
Yeah, this is from Aurora Duke from from Tobago. Can you believe it? Another letter from the Bahamas, or the West Indies, whichever way you want to put it. And Aurora writes, "Keep it coming, guys." Well, thank you very much, Aurora. Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Duke. And I think that's pretty much it for this week's listeners' letters. What did you say?
No,
Scott?
Third letter. No third letter.
Well, no.
Usually, Scott, I choose two. You choose one.
No. I've been busy workshopping my stand-up routine with a bunch of Year 12 students at Altham High School. Yeah. So I don't have time to scale through the multitudes of emails that we receive on a weekly basis and suss out which ones are which. So yeah. I think having said that, Scott, unless you've got something else pointless to remark on.
Nothing pointless to remark on at all.
Well, I think it's about time we wrap this podcast up. It's been a rather insightful podcast. Once again, Scott, thank you very much for organising that promo of my stand-up tour. And if people are interested in finding out what dates those particular acts will be on, just Google it. You'll find out where and when. Scott, for the week ahead, is there anything that you see that we should be aware of?
The next week? Yes, I've given a bit of thought to this. There are a few hotspots around the Earth at current. I won't name them, we all know what they are. And I just reckon, keep your eyes on them. I reckon those hotspots will either remain hot or maybe get hotter or maybe cool down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Depending.
What do you see on the horizon?
Yeah. Oh, I won't talk about that. Look, I think that people should keep a close eye on global and domestic politics this week. I think if people want to have a close look at what's happening on the political front across all nations around the world, you will find that there are some pretty interesting things about to take place. So that's what I suggest all the simpletons out there keep an eye out on. Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure. Let me just remind simpletons again that you can get this on iTunes, you can get this from the simpleton.com.au website, or you can indeed download it via Stitcher. If you want to follow us, the simpletons, on... I don't know why I'm doing that voice. If you want to follow us, the simpletons, on Twitter, it's simply at the simpletons. So, Scott, thank you very much, and goodbye.
Goodbye.